Blog Talk Radio.
Shall continually be in my mouth. Blog Talk Radio, October the 28th, 2023. Good morning. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. We are taking charge and living life to its fullness. I am your co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers, and we honor the host on this morning, Dr. Maria Carey, who is the president and CEO of the Amazing Grace Ministries. And we have an anointed, spirit-filled lesson on today, so we're going to get right to it. Announcements. Please consider donating to Amazing Grace Ministries, Inc. You can send that donation to P.O. Box 438411, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. And thank you to those who have sent in a donation, and they are well appreciated. Classes will be postponed until 2024, and we're open for topic suggestions. To everyone listening to Radio Land, I decree blessing to you in the coming months of 2023. And if you're blessed by this talk show, I need you to express it via text, email, or comment on our lesson page. Text Dr. Carey at 309-750-7584 or email AmazingGraceMinistries at gmail.com. That's capital A-A-Z-E-N. GRACEMINISTRIES at gmail.com. And we're on the air every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. And we have exciting lessons. So please tune in. To connect to this lesson live, the link is http://tobtr.com/s/122-81512. Let's get into the lesson explained. Revelation, signs, people dying, killing each other, just because they can. Others scared, not able to walk out of your front door, and too afraid to even be concerned about somebody else. Mothers against daughters, fathers against sons, and cousins against cousins. Two brothers' children fighting and killing one another. Just senseless. Can you see the reality of the times? The end is near, and yet we are not ready. Wars all over, people fighting in the name of whatever God they serve with a small g. Others not hearing the preacher and certainly not caring where they spend eternity. Time is slipping by. It seems there's no hope in sight. But wait, I hear an army and the restorer, the King of Kings, the deliverer, will be leading his troops. There will be a battle. And are you set for the war? Time to demand our freedom, taking back what is rightly ours. Those items that have been taken, defending our children, our homes, our churches, our society, declaring war and suiting up for battle. Putting on your armor and holding it tight, wrapped from your head to your feet. Question, will you enlist or will you be caught outside on the day of judgment? This is by M. Carey. A glimpse into Revelation. So prepare to hear a word that will captivate your mind. It will change your life. Christ has come that we might have life more abundantly. This word will illuminate your heart, lift you to a greater level in the Lord Jesus Christ, and will take you on a journey in the word that will give you greater peace, greater hope, and closer to Jesus as we set the pace for victory. We are fighting the good fight of faith and using our spiritual weapons. The theme for this month of October is, it's harvest time. The lesson for this fourth Saturday in October is, the harvest is ending, but the time is not yet come. And this is part two of a three-part series. Our text is coming from 2 Peter 3, 10 through 12, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. And it reads, 10, but the day of the Lord will come as expectantly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise. And the very element themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. 11, since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives you should live. 12, looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. On that day, he will set the heavens on fire, and the elements will melt away in the flames. Revelation 1:19 says, write therefore what you have seen, what is now and what will take place later. 2 Timothy 3:1-5 says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Matthew 24:44, and it reads, therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. 1 John 5:19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Mark 13:32, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Daniel 12:13 reads, but go thou thy way till the end be. For thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the day. Isaiah 2:2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hill, and all nations shall flow unto it. The Bible has several passages that discuss the end times, which is also known in eschatology. The meaning of eschatology. The most well-known book in the Bible for studying the end times is the book of Revelation. But there are many Old and New Testament passages that speak prophecy of future events. The study of end times theology is called eschatology. While there are many interpretations of the scripture on the end times, it's helpful to reference articles, commentaries, and sermons from pastors and teachers to grasp a better understanding of the last days. In earlier years, you would hear the saints of God talk about the fact we were living in the last days, but nothing could have prepared us or we could have ever imagined the day and time that we're living in now. According to Revelation 1:3, the time is near when Jesus will return. So Revelation gives us a clear picture of what's to come, or the last days. We can say that we are living in the last days, and yet the last day has not come. Matthew 24:35-36, and this is the King James Version, and it reads, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." And it tells us the day is coming, but we cannot know the day or the hour that it will be. So eschatology is the study of the end times or last days that are prophesied in the Bible. The Bible prophesies of many events that will occur in the end times. These events can be characterized as natural signs, spiritual signs, sociological signs, technological signs, and political signs. And these signs have presented themselves in an abundance as we see in everyday living. In the Bible, we are given a list of some of the natural signs that will occur before Jesus' second coming, and that's in Luke 21:11. And the words state that there will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilence in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. Some overview on Revelation. Revelation 1:1-4:9-22-8, it specifically identifies the author of the book of Revelation as the Apostle John. The book of Revelation was likely written between A.D. 90 and 95. The book of Revelation shows the revelation of Jesus Christ that was given to John by God to show his servants what must soon take place. This book is filled with mysteries about things to come. It is the final warning that the world will surely end and judgment will be certain. It gives us a tiny glimpse of heaven and all of the glories awaiting those who keep their robes white. Revelation takes us through the great tribulation with all its woes and the final fire that all unbelievers will face for eternity. The book reiterates the fall of Satan and the doom he and his angels are bound for. We are shown the duties of all creatures and angels of heaven and the promises of the saints that will live forever with Jesus in New Jerusalem. Like John, we find it hard to describe what we read in the book of Revelation. Revelation 13:16-7 said, "He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name." Revelation 19:11 said, "I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes wars." Revelation 20:11, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them." Revelation 21:1 reads, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea." Revelation is a lavish and colorful description of the vision, which proclaims for us the last days before Christ's return and the ushering in of the new heaven and the new earth. Revelation begins with letters to the seven churches of Asia Minor, then goes on to reveal the series of devastations poured out upon the earth. The mark of the beast, 666. The climatical battle of Armageddon. The battle of Satan. The reign of the Lord. The great white throne judgment. And the nature of the eternal city of God. Prophecies concerning Jesus Christ are fulfilling, and a concluding call to his lordship assures us that he will soon return. Saints, understand, we are the last church. Once we, the church, are all done, there the tribulation begins. There are three discussions surrounding the tribulation period. The first belief is the pre-tribulation rapture. The church has been raptured before the tribulation. The second is mid-tribulation rapture. The church is raptured during the tribulation period. And the third, post-tribulation rapture. The church is raptured after the tribulation period. I'm under the belief that the church will be gone when the tribulation comes. The book of Revelation is the accumulation of the prophecies about the end times, beginning with the Old Testament. The description of the Antichrist mentioned in Daniel 9 and 27 is developed fully in chapter 13 of Revelation. Outside of Revelation, examples of apocalyptic literature in the Bible in Daniel chapters 7 and 12, Isaiah chapters 24 through 27, Ezekiel chapter 37 through 34, Zechariah chapters 9 through 14. All these prophecies come together in the book of Revelation. Here are some popular Bible verses about the end time. But understand this. This is the last days. There will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. That's 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. We see this on the news in our neighborhoods and in our families. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Matthew 24 and 6. The war in Gaza and Israel taking up arms to fight against Hamas should not be strange to us. We should see it as a sign of the time, of the end times, as God prepared us that he is on his way back. But about the day or hour, no man knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Matthew 24 and 36. There are many false prophets that will tell you or try to give you some type of calculation when Jesus will be coming back. But clearly, in Matthew 24 and 36, it tells us that we don't know the hour nor the time when the Son of Man will come, but we do know Jesus will be back for his church. It's important to remember that we do not need to fear the end times. We should study Bible prophecies so that we can be prepared for the return of Christ. The event usually referred to as the end of the world is described in 2 Peter 3 and 10. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. This is the culmination of a series of events called the Day of the Lord, the time when God will intervene in human history for the purpose of judgment. At that time, all that God has created, the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1 and 1, he will destroy. The timing of this event, according to most Bible scholars, is at the end of the thousand-year period called the millennium. During these thousand years, Christ will reign on earth as king in Jerusalem, sitting on the throne of David, Luke 1, 32-33, and ruling in peace, but with a rod of iron, Revelation 19 and 15. At the end of the thousand years, Satan will be released, defeated again, and then cast into the lake of fire, Revelation 20, 7 through 10. Then after a final judgment by God, the end of the world described in 2 Peter 3 and 10 occurs. The Bible tells us several different events about this. First, it will be cataclysmic. The heavens refers to the physical universe, the stars, planet, and galaxies, which will be consumed by some kind of tremendous explosion, probably a nuclear or atomic reaction that will consume and obliterate all matters as we know it. We do not know. All the elements that makes up the universe will be melted into the fervent heat, 2 Peter 3:12. This will also be a noisy event, described in different Bible versions as a roar in the NIV, a great noise in the King James Version, a loud noise in the CEV, and a thunderous crash in the Amplified Version. There will be no doubt as to what is happening. Everyone will see and hear it because we are also told that the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Then God will create a new heaven and a new earth, Revelation 21:1, which will include the New Jerusalem, and that's in verse 2, the capital city of heaven, a place of perfect holiness, which will come down from heaven to the new earth. This is the city where the saints, those whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Revelation 13:8, will live forever. Peter refers to this new creation as the home of righteousness, 2 Peter 3:13. Revelation states that there will be a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. This new Jerusalem will sit on the foundation of precious stones and is going to dangle out of the heaven that is going to be a marvelous sight to see. In addition, there will be no need for the sun or moon because Jesus Christ and God the Father will provide that for us in their presence. Some points I have taken from Revelation 21:22. God will dwell with his people, and we shall be his people. God will wipe away our tears, and there will be no more death. All things will be new. He will give us the fountain of the water of life free to those that thirst. The glory of God will be like a precious stone, jasper. Pure river of water of life comes from the throne of God and the Lamb. The tree of life and the curse is lifted. There is no night. And lastly, the root and offspring of David, the Messiah, has come. In conclusion, perhaps the most important part of Peter's description of that day is his question in verse 11 and 12. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed is coming. We who believe in Jesus Christ know what is going to happen, and we should live in a way that reflects that understanding. This life is passing away, and our focus should be on the new heavens and earth to come. Our holy and godly lives should be a testimony to those who do not know the Savior, and we should tell others about him so they can escape the terrible fate that awaits them who reject him. We wait in eager anticipation for God's Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come, 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? If so, you have nothing to fear about God's judgment of the world as described in the book of Revelation. The judge is on our side. Before the final judgment begins, we must witness to friends and neighbors about God's offer to eternal life in Christ. The event that we are seeing on earth now are real. We must live our lives in a way that demonstrates the truth of what we know so that others will notice our joy about our future and want to join us in that new and glorious city. Let us pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, we come humbly before your throne of grace. Lord God, before we ask you for anything, just allow us to thank you for everything. Lord God, we thank you for who you are. You are truly the Lord of lords. You are the King of kings. You are the everlasting Father. You are the Prince of Peace, the Alpha, hallelujah, and the Omega. God, we love you on this morning, God. Hallelujah. Lord God, we just thank you for waking us up this morning, Lord God. We thank you for the activities of our limbs, Lord God. And then, Lord God, we just thank you for your Son, Jesus, God. Hallelujah. Lord God, help us to be ready when you come, God. Hallelujah, because we want to live in the New Jerusalem. And then, Lord God, we just ask you to look on all our leaders today, the world leaders, Lord God. And then, Lord God, look on my leaders, the administrative assistant superintendent, Dr. Byron L. Gibbs and Lady Gibbs, God. Look on my assistant pastor this morning, Lord God, Elder Reginald Johnson and Evangelist Johnson, God. And then, Lord God, look on Dr. Carrie and her mother and her father, God. Lord God, bless Dr. Carrie, Lord God, in her future endeavors, Lord God, with the Blog Talk Radio, God. Lord God, you know what she needs, Lord God. You know the desires, Lord God. Hallelujah. Meet them, Lord God, according to your will, God. And then, Lord God, look on each listener, Lord God, one by one, name by name, God. You know what each individual need, God. Meet the need, God, according to your will, God. And then, Lord God, we ask you to look on the mothers, Lord God. Look on Mother Garnett this morning, Lord God. Touch her, Lord God. Lord God, touch her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. Then, Lord God, look on Mother Luckett this morning, Lord God. You know what she needs, God. Do it for her, God. Hallelujah. Look on Mother Esther this morning, Lord God. You know what she needs, God. Look on Mother Christine, Lord God. Look on Mother Norman and Mother Maxine, God. Hallelujah. Lord God, look on the lay members, God. Go and look on Sister Panky this morning, Lord God. Let her know that you're with her, God. Look on the ministerial staff, God. Hallelujah. Look on Dad Rogers this morning, Lord God. Continue to strengthen his body, Lord God. Look on Dad Ellis today, God. Oh, God, look on the deacons this morning, God, the ministers, God. And then, Lord God, look on the doorkeepers, God. Hallelujah. Lord God, we just thank you, Lord God. We thank you for all that you're doing. We thank you for what you've already doing. And then we're going to thank you in advance. We thank you for what you're going to do, God, because, God, you are great. And we just thank you. We praise you on today, Lord God. Then, God, we just ask you to just be with us on today, God. And then follow us over in tomorrow as we prepare for Sunday service, God. Hallelujah. We thanking you already for the word, God. Send the word, God, and then open our hearts, God, that we can receive the word, God. Let us be a doer of the word and not just a hearer of the word. And then, Lord God, be with us in everything that we say and do on today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio, where your host is the Dr. Maria Carey. And today your host was the co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers. Come back next week, same time, 9 o'clock Saturday morning. I'll be returning. Enjoy your day and have a marvelous day on purpose.